This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX Radio, covering Buffalo, Toronto, and Rochester, here with Ryan Cozy. Ryan's my co-host. He's the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel.
It still makes you stumble every time we do this.
Well, you have a cool title for a pastor. It's missional engagement. It's like a manly title. It's like we're, you know,
something.
I just think it's like Howie Long would play that character. Missional engagement, you know, or something.
I'm definitely not Howie Long.
No. They can't see you, Ryan. They don't know that.
They should know. I'm okay. Not Howie Long.
we had a great week last week talking with Will Plitt, who's the director of the National Network of Christ Together out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Just a really good discussion. We got deep and we got, philosophical about what's behind Christ Together and what's behind churches coming together to put people on mission, to mm-hmm. help people engage in mission, Ryan. And it was a great discussion, and I'm looking forward to our guest this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. So today we're going to be talking about, we're trying to shine a light on different areas where God is moving throughout the country. And an area I just recently visited was Orange County, California. Had a good time being out there with a couple of good friends, Chris Lagerlof, who's kind of helps to provide leadership for Mission Orange County, and John Blue, who also provides leadership for Mission Orange County, which is connected to Christ Together as well. John is also a local church pastor. He mm-hmm. just planted another church. And he's got some good connections to Buffalo. So former NHL goalie for the Bruins, not happy about that, but for the Sabres
as well.
So we're looking forward to that.
And hey, you know, I got to talk to whoever's scheduling your trips, because why would you go to California now and not in February?
Yeah, well, I usually had it set up I usually had it set up to be February, but it was just the timing was right to be out there. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to get started here in just a minute and carry on our conversation with John and Chris, and we're looking forward to you joining in. If you're listening today and you have a question for us, we'd love to get your question. Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay as we get the emails coming through, but you can check out our Christ Together Radio page on the WDCX Radio page. It's WDCXradio.com. Go to Programs Christ Together. There's a form email thing you can fill out there. You can email us, and we'd love to discuss whatever questions you have. If you're a church interested in getting involved in this, Ryan, they can email us. We can put you in contact with the right people to help your church become a part of what God is doing in Western New York. And hey, if you're in Southern Ontario, we'd love to connect with you too.
Absolutely. We would love to have that happen. We're always looking for opportunities to on-ramp partnership for gospel saturation. So
that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Christ Together Radio. We're going to be back in just a minute here, actually. And, connect with John and Chris about what God is doing in Orange County, California. Yes, God is there. He's in Orange County, and he's doing. He lives there. Well, if he could choose a place, that may be it. But may not be Buffalo. But anyway,
they're very similar geographies.
They're very similar.
New York and Orange County. Very. Yeah. It's almost like you don't skip a beat when you fly out.
No, there's no difference. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, we have palm trees too in one of the restaurants somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be back, and we promise to behave in just a minute. So stay with us on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy, your hosts today, talking about what God is doing in Orange County, California. John Blue and Chris Lagerlof are joining us on the line from Orange County. John and Chris, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Good, guys.
Yes, very good. Thanks. We're excited to be with you.
Ryan was telling us during the break that John, I believe you have a pretty good story to tell, Ryan. I don't know if you can fill in
the blanks. Okay, so we got to get this out of the way, but it's a great story. Okay. We've got Western New York is a great hockey town. GTA is a great hockey city. Rochester, Calder Cup champs. John Blue, you'll know that name. John, there's a great story when you were brought up from Rochester. You were back in Apashek. I think Muckler was the GM or the coach, and LaFontaine was here. Would love for you to share that story real quick.
Let's first clarify. I was backing up Hasek, or Hasek was backing up me?
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Okay, and here we go. No.
And if you haven't if you haven't gathered, John is plays hockey and is a goalie.
Yes.
No, you know, Buffalo. Great. I originally was with Boston, and I was a part of the May Day fiasco.
That's right. You were on the other side of that one.
Yeah, not so good. Played Game 3 and lost in overtime, which led to Game 4 and May Day. So it was an interesting transition going from Boston to Buffalo. And and Mux, we all know, with his ever-loving smile and demeanor, when he signed me, called me in the office, and came up from Rochester, and he, you know, they like to give a good pep talk because that's what good GMs and coaches do. Sat me down and said, "Look, hey, here's the deal. You're not Dominic Hasek. I didn't sign you to win any games, but I didn't sign you to lose any games. So don't try to be Dominic Hasek, and do the best you can." To which we went out to play the New York Islanders that night, and Patty LaFontaine was injured and told me later he was walking out, and Muck said, "Well, let's see what the fill-in-the-blank this kid can do, and hopefully he doesn't screw this thing up." So that was my wonderful intro to Buffalo hockey, which I don't think I screwed up too bad, because it's hard to screw up when you open the door and shut the door and let players in and out. So yeah, I think I did an admirable job on the
fine
on the
teammate,
bench.
Yes.
Yes, fine.
Well, the world of hockey must be a little bit different than the world of church now.
No. Let me tell you, the transition from hockey to church was perfect, because in hockey there's a lot of cussing and fighting.
Yeah,
and
church.
When I got to church, a lot of cussing and fighting.
Yeah, at the board meetings.
Perfect transition.
Yeah. So when you hire somebody now, it's like, don't screw this up.
Yeah, that's the patent speech.
Yes,
that's great.
So you guys are you know, I'd love to hear for our audience. I want them to understand one, what we're doing in Buffalo. It's connected to a larger network of churches that are trying to do the same things in their geography. It looks different because their culture is different, their context is different. So, Chris, maybe a little bit about your background, and then help us understand how different, you know, just what's Orange County like out there.
Yeah, well, today it's about 82 degrees, and we're here at Exponential, actually, the Church Planters Conference, a church called Mariners, which is a large church. And actually, where I was on staff and cut my teeth in ministry for 17 years, and dear place to me, and really has served as a catalyst in my own life to the relationships that John and I have cultivated over the years here in Orange County to really bring churches together in cities and in our county to focus on gospel saturation. You know, so in Orange County, we have 3.2 million people. Mm-hmm. There's 34 cities. And so we want to see churches and those who have the heart of God, the cities are, you know, in their heart, you know, gather and convene and have a conversation around what would it look like to reach every man, woman, and child and provide repeated and more opportunities to see them hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is home for me. I grew up in Orange County, so hockey's kind of foreign to me. Uh-huh. I play Little League baseball. I could share some stories about that. And but I have a real passion and heart for what God is doing here, and to see the church really be successful at saturating our county with the gospel.
Right. Now, Orange County, south of Los Angeles, I mean, this is, you know, there's 5-6 places in the United States that really are, you can see where the world comes together. And, you know, being out there, being a scientist who kind of studies demographic shifts, Orange County and that area, that you can see the world in your county. Talk with us a little bit about the diversity that you all see. I mean, there's 3-point-some million people in Orange County, 34 cities. Talk with us a little bit about the diversity that you all see, that you wake up to every day as you try to understand, exegete your context, and then saturate it with the gospel. What does that look like?
Well, yeah, I actually live in Irvine, which is sort of in the middle of our county, and it is the most diverse city in our county. And in Orange County, is, you know, from north to south, east to west, highly diverse. And one of the things for us that's been so important is engaging those leaders and people in leadership who represent the different, you know, ethnic groups in our county, in our cities. And that is so critical because they are the gatekeepers. They have the relationship to those communities, to others like them who they have a voice to. And so you know, for us, it's finding people who aren't like us and who are diverse. And in fact, it's fun like here in Irvine. You know, John and I were together last week with several pastors. We've been gathering here in our city, and they're looking at maybe planting a church, and we're talking about doing some other things where we mobilize the body of Christ. But if you looked around the room, we had Hispanic leaders, we had Asian leaders. Irvine has about 45% of our city is Asian. We had one of our black pastors in the city, and then, you know, guys that look like John and I. But what we celebrate is the fact that it's not guys like John and I in a room talking about how can we connect with others who don't look like us. For us, it's really bringing us everyone together and having a conversation. How are we going to impact our city?
That's interesting to me, because I think a lot of times we actually last I guess it was 2 weeks ago, Ryan, wasn't mm-hmm. it? We did a couple of programs the last 2 or 3 weeks about working in an urban context with, you know, some of the challenges there and exactly what Christ Together is doing and right. trying to actually reach people. And I think a lot of times in our churches, we've kind of decided what's best for other people who aren't like us.
Right.
Rather than bringing people into the conversation to try to help them change their community.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Well, it is. And you know, as someone who I've spent time out there, and one of the things like, you know, Buffalo is different in the fact that, you know, a recent report came out, you know, the most segregated city mm-hmm. in the United States is Buffalo, New York. I mean, there's just pockets of neighborhoods.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. This is actually a fascinating piece of information. Yeah. You can still, like in Buffalo, if you're Irish,
right.
what do you think?
South Buffalo.
That's right. If you're German, you're thinking of Kaisertown.
Yep.
If you're Puerto Rican, you're thinking of the Lower West Side. If you're Italian, you're thinking
Upper.
Of Hurdle.
Yep.
Right. You know, so it's almost like within us in Western New York, there's pretty tight-knit neighborhoods still.
Yeah.
And in Orange County, you kind of wake up every day and seeing the diversity all around you, it becomes mission critical
well,
for you.
It's like our listeners in Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
Toronto's
a
world city, absolutely.
Yep.
And
yep.
so you're New York's, your LA's, your Chicago's, your Miami's, your Seattle's, your Houston's, your Orange County's, LA. I mean, this is what you see there. So it becomes mission critical that you really can't have a serious conversation about saturation if it's a bunch of white dudes sitting in a room saying, how are we going to reach Orange County? Mm-hmm. It requires you to engage the diversity, the beautiful diversity of the kingdom of God in your context. And that really is Orange County. Go ahead, John.
And with Orange County, we've got to get even more specific, because when you look at the heart of Orange County, we have Santa Ana, which is the most dense city in America, or first youngest city in America, the third densest city in America, and about, Chris, I think the stat is 80% Hispanic. So the Hispanic
80%,
in Orange County is really driving the church and ultimately will be the face of the church.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just years away from the face of the church being pretty much brown, and we want to celebrate that. And one of the things for us that's exciting is, in fact, we were talking about this yesterday with some Latino pastors here in Orange County, is really we're focusing a lot on the millennials mm-hmm. that are Hispanic in our county and trying to raise up a generation of church planters and leaders and those who really will be the face of the church in the near future. And that's exciting and that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, we're our county. Orange County is 34-35% Latino right now. So,
wow.
and it's a population that's growing quickly, and so it's only going to increase more. And so for the church to be successful here, and the church to have a wonderful future and a beautiful future, and to saturate our county with the gospel, we have to get behind our Latino brothers and sisters.
Let's take it back to what are some of the things that you're doing maybe within your own local church context to you're part of Christ Together, but maybe
sure.
within your church. And John, I'll ask you this. What's going on in your church in terms of missional engagement that you're seeing that's maybe different from what it might have looked like before you got involved with Christ Together?
Well, this is probably the first church, and I've planted a number of churches, that I've really fully embraced everything that we have taught and are walking through at Christ Together, which really means for me in our church is an awareness of geographic intentionality, really an understanding that each member in our church is on mission, and that mission entails them understanding that they have influence in the geography that God has placed them in, where they work, where they play, where they go to school, where they live, and all those different geographies. The importance of understanding that God has sovereignly placed you there, and you have a responsibility.
That's great. Chris, I'm going to throw this one to you. This is a hard question to ask because I don't like quite know how to put it, but church
That's
used
okay.
to
go for it. Go
yeah,
for
church
it.
Used to look a certain way. And what I mean is we used to have programs, we used to have Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and you know, the whole deal, especially if you grew up in a Baptist church like I did, you had kind of like the formula that you followed through. And in many ways, I feel like we were so busy doing church that we forgot to be church.
Sure.
But there was some value in that too. And so there's like this weird tension between creating people who know God more, who know God better, which we know leads to then missional engagement. But there's also this problem that we have where the church organization itself has in many ways become so, especially in maybe a smaller church context, has become so volunteer needy that we tend to, there's this tension between do you serve God in church and then have no time at home to maybe reach your neighbors or whatever. So how does programmatically, what's a good balance for a church to have, or how do you manage that tension?
Yeah, well, this is a fun conversation right now in the church, because I think we've looked back at the church growth movement, the seeker, movement, and realized that we've built really good programs and advanced that attract people to the church. But we've forgotten that the church is where we gather, but the church, when it's scattered, is at its best. And so it's just a lot of the church planters we work with, they want to be the gatherers and scatterers. And so I think in a lot of ways, and this is a fun thing for John and I, and we've seen this in Santa Ana, is what happens when it's built around things that at the church and programs and events and curriculums is churches become good at producing attenders. And attenders are really good at showing up to church and serving on the church campus and so on. And really the divine purpose of the church is to produce disciples. And so it's the shift in the conversation to what is the definition of a disciple and disciple making, and then asking the question, is that what we're producing? Like John said, the heart of the pastor and the role of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, to help people live on the mission of God, and to produce a disciple that just doesn't show up to church, but to live like a 21st century missionary in the places they live, work, and play. And they think like a missionary, where they're engaged intentionally with a lost world, and they have a heart for lost people, their neighborhoods, the communities that they're involved in, the workplace that they show up to. And so there is a real intentional shift in conversation going on. And I think for us, it's really helping churches really think through what are they producing, what's a disciple, a healthy biblical disciple, look like and live like, and the balance and tension between spiritual formation and missional living, because they go hand in hand.
One of the things that we have to take a break in just a minute. So I want to pick this back up because I want to bounce the question to you guys about the scary nature of what we're describing here. And by that, I mean churches who have existed and who feel like they need people who are strong attenders, strong givers, strong, strong volunteers in the church, and the kind of the risky nature of doing less in church, because they feel like then church is not the center. I had a pastor tell me that he's terrified because church is no longer the center of his people's lives.
Right.
And so there's almost like a hard thing to trust God for your existence as an organization as you release people out into the world. So I want to talk about that tension in just a minute. Christ Together Radio, Ryan Cozy, Brett Larson here with John Blue and Chris Lagerlof out in Orange County, California. We'll be back in just a minute. Really great discussion, so don't go away.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX, and Ryan Cozy, who's the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel.
You got it.
I got it this time.
You got it.
And coming to you on WDCX, reaching Buffalo and Toronto and Rochester. If you want to learn more about what we're doing on Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com. Programs is the tab you'll look for, and then Christ Together Radio. Click on that, and you'll find out all about what we're doing with this show, what our intentions are, and who Ryan is. You can get his background there.
and a pretty ugly picture.
Yes, I actually like your picture there. You look very studious.
Somebody said you look like you're wearing an orange jumpsuit. All I need is some county numbers on the back, and I'm good to go.
I figured since you like were in Western New York, you're trying to be a Syracuse guy.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
It was just picture day. That's all I know.
We're here with John Blue and Chris Lagerlof, both pastors out in Orange County, California. We're talking about missional engagement. We're talking about what church might look like or needs to look like in the 21st century and some of the differences there. And before the break we took, we kind of posed the question to both John and Chris about the risky nature in a way of church attenders versus missional engagement. Yep. People being in the church and how we need to send people out and the vacuum of volunteerism and the way it sucks people into the church, and we get so caught up in church we forget to reach people. But there are some real concerns there. I've talked to pastors who are nervous about doing this kind of thing because one pastor said he's scared to death because church, without church being the center of people's lives, like organizationally, are we going to exist, and how do we exist, and is it going to look different? So guys, maybe you can speak to that. Chris, I'll let you start. I'll throw that question to you. You know the question, so just go ahead and answer it.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to reevaluate the operating system. And we've drifted from really the heart of God for his church and his mission. And I think a lot of what we've seen is we've become too dependent on our facilities, budget to pay our staff, and the weight of that to sustain that and to gather people so we can pass an offering basket. And I think there's a lot of fear with a lot of pastors that, gosh, if we mobilize people in our church and the church becomes more about our lives being lived out in community in a missional way, that we may lose the ability to sustain what we have. And that's scary for a lot of guys and a lot of churches. And I think the other side of it, too, is we really built churches around the pastor shepherd gift, that what happens on Sunday when we sit down, we experience what happens on stage. And what happens, I think, is we just begin to consume, and we forget that God's called us into mission with him, and that the Great Commission isn't something that's supposed to be executed by paid professionals on a church staff, but that those who call a church home.
Wow.
And so on. And so and there's just this tension that it creates between the paid staff and the laity. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, you can have the largest church and the greatest preacher in your city, but it may make little to no impact, because the only way we're really going to impact cities and see the gospel saturated is when everyday followers of Christ, disciples, live on mission. And so, you know, the question God might ask someday isn't, you know, what kind of worship center did you build, or what did you do on Sunday mornings, or, you know, how great were your messages, but what did you do with the army of God that showed up every weekend, and how did they impact the community that you were in? And so, you know, it's getting back to that thinking, and some of that's just changing the operating system.
John, I'll let you answer this. That makes me think of a whole, we could do a whole show just on that one response that Chris had, but are we responsible for this as Christian leaders? And I talk about us as a whole, as the whole of, you know, Christian leadership and pastoral ministries. Are we kind of responsible for creating a system that maybe forced people off mission?
Yeah, well, the issue isn't ultimately the bill. The issue is we're responsible with the gospel. Bill Hull says this in his new book, Conversion Discipleship. He says, the gospel you preach will determine the disciple you get. Hmm. And what we have seen is this church that is preaching a gospel that is, you know, a forgiveness gospel or a prosperity gospel or a consumer gospel, or take any one of the number of gospels that we preach that are short on the one gospel, which is the kingdom gospel. And until we start preaching the kingdom gospel, I don't care if you're a mega, which is really less than 1% of the church in America, or you're an average church in America, which is 100 people or less, it's the gospel. That's the ultimate issue. So I think we've got to, you know, we've got to release our pastors into this thinking of, let's define the gospel, and out of that, we will get disciples who will represent and be the gospel in the geographies that God has called them to.
And amen.
That's good.
All right, John.
All right, thanks.
We'll see you next week,
yeah,
everybody.
We pretty much nailed it this week.
Just go work on that, what Chris just said and John just said.
Yeah. Just play that back and back. Ryan, you serve in a big church. I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Yeah, sure.
You serve in a very large church.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know the sizes of Chris and John's church. Are they? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in Orange County, so everything's big out there.
Look,
probably.
Yeah. Wait. let me just declare how powerful my people are. I've got a strong 53 people, and we're going to change the world.
Hey, man, I love it. I love
53.
It. I love it.
That's not even Cozy's parking lot.
I was just going to say his usher staff is 53.
Well, he's killing me.
John's got five kids and he's married, so really it's 47.
That's awesome.
46. Well, I have my grandma, my mom, my dad, my sister in there, so yeah. Really we're out there.
Well, you like to keep the size of a hockey team. Yeah. That's it. You can manage it. Ryan, you serve in a very large church.
Yeah, sure.
It's actually in Orange County terms.
It's small.
Yeah, it's actually not. I mean, but the chapel for our Buffalo area is by far the largest church in the area. How do you guys? And I don't. If I put you on the spot, I'm sorry,
but
you're my friend, so I can do this. We're friends now, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
So how does a church like the chapel manage that? It's a big operation, and but great things happen there, and the gospel goes forward there, unlike many churches I've ever heard of. So, how do you guys manage that tension?
Yeah, so one of the big things that we do is we have to constantly be looking at indicators of what is or what isn't happening in our church. And so, one of the things that I'm very grateful for in our church is that we collect information, we collect data, and we begin to see what is and what is not happening in the life of the people that call the chapel home. And so we subject ourselves to the same sorts of assessment that our partner churches do throughout the country in Christ Together. And when we see that the behavior of the average disciple in our church is what we see in America, we're not happy. Mm-hmm. And so what we begin to do is we say, okay, well, this is the real information that we see in the life of our people, and we are responsible to steward this toward hopefully a different outcome in the lives of our people. Now, some people have made the suggestion, well, why don't you just blow up what exists at the chapel and just start over? And I kind of look at them and go, hey, listen, God's sovereign hand has gotten us to this point. Mm-hmm. And so as we are listening to the Spirit of God and we're trying to discern what he's asking us to do, we want to be good stewards of what he's done. And so I'd like to think, yes, we do have our Cross Point location is large, but we also have a Lockport location. We also have a Cheektowaga location. And we've also been a part of taking the assets that God has given us and planting new expressions of the bride that don't have the chapel's name.
That's right.
And so when we look at, giving birth to new things, we're not looking to give birth to just new chapel things. We're saying these are kingdom resources. Yeah. How can we plant new kingdom expressions? Mm-hmm. And then how can those, and this is a very legitimate thing that's happened, as God has planted some of those churches, with the resources that he's entrusted us with, we are looking to those churches that have been planted and going, teach us how you're doing discipleship. Help us understand how you're mobilizing people. We're constantly wanting to stay low and learn. And do we do that well all the time? No, we don't. Are we perfect? No, we're not. But I'd like to think that God's positioning us from an Antioch place to say, okay, we have the same responsibility to mobilize a large group of people. And as we provide new expressions of the church, as we learn from our partners, those things are going to help us go move the needle from being an attender to being missionally engaged in the lostness of your geography. And I promise you this, it's one of the most personal things for me to make sure is happening in our church.
And as somebody that's grown up in the Buffalo area, I can attest to that.
Sure.
I've seen how the chapel has, and kind of from both an outsider and an insider perspective, seeing how you guys live open-handedly over there. And even the very nature of Christ Together, it's really you, Ryan, who have kind of you know, had the passion for that for Western New York, and Daryl, Daryl Largis, who's now home with Jesus, but had that same missional mentality to help start churches like, you know, Renovation Church and a whole bunch of other churches that carry on the mission of what you're talking about. So,
and I would just I would just add, we make mistakes. That, you know, we're not perfect, but
we all do.
We're definitely working toward having the you know, if God was writing a letter to the Church of Western New York, He's going to not just write it to us. He's going to write it to scores of other churches. We have to find those partners. We have to work together. We have to mobilize everyday people.
Yeah. John or Chris, you had something to say?
Let me say, Ryan, with that, you know, here's where the mega can really push the ball down the field. What you guys are doing in Western New York is huge, and which we're trying to get, and we're starting to get some movement, is this. When the mega calls, everybody comes because they want to be that. Now, that's not right theologically or good necessarily, but what it does is it'll catalyze a region. When a guy that has a 100-member church calls, their mother comes. And they're five kids. So what I love about the chapel and what we have seen is this, that the pastoral staff there is really using their influence to bring churches together. When we can, if we can get mega churches to see that the two-sided coin is that not only do they have influence because they're big and they've got good finances and they can do things, but they have influence amongst other pastors. And if they'll help jump in and unite the other pastors in the city, the ball will move down the field much quicker.
And I think one thing to point out with, I know you're all your all's hearts to be Southern. Will was last week, but your heart isn't necessarily to grow another organization in Christ together.
Right.
Your heart is for the gospel, and however that happens, it happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Chris talked about this today, and we also saw this in Will talking about we're looking to help provide a better operating system, understanding like how can we mobilize the church. If the goal, like we want saturation to happen, that requires some things of us. It requires mobilizing everyday people. It requires that as we mobilize them, they continue to draw close to the Lord, and they're transformed. And we're doing that at one church. We're also asking other churches to join us in that, and then new churches are planted. Like, those four things contribute to how we're going to get after this. And it doesn't matter if it's Orange County or Western New York. We happen to be talking about Orange County today.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the joy that I have in being able to work with like-minded kingdom citizens like Chris, like John, like Will. It's truly a joy.
Well, that's the fun part of what we get to do in Christ Together is we are all having the same conversation in different geographies. You know, more than 50 across the U.S. What I think sometimes I see our role is to be a healthy, good thorn in the side in the conversation that pastors are having, churches are having about, you know, what does it mean to be the church and what does the church look like? And for us, I think here, I talked about this the other day with a group of people, is, you know, what we want to see happen is if it's a mega church or if it's a medium-sized church or small church or house church, those that are healthy, that are reproducing, that are multiplying, would continue to multiply and reproduce healthy missional communities throughout their geography and city that are producing disciples that are making an impact. And if we continue to see that happen more and more and more, we will see gospel saturation, you know, in all of our cities in America. And that's really the heart of Christ Together. And so, you know, we serve really as a playground and a convener because churches don't normally work well together on their own. And so for us, it's, you know, let's call the guys in this city who love this city and really begin the conversation of how to have a collective strategy for impact. Over time, it'll saturate your geography with the gospel. But at the same time, as they're drawn into that mission and that conversation, what we've also realized is we have to be intentionally focused on building healthy relationships, because relationship will trump mission every time over time. And so it's that tension of, you know, building a relationship with the spiritual leaders in the city, but also being on mission together to see the landscape of our city, you know, transformed over time.
That's good.
It's really kind of actually, we have a minute left. Thank you, Ryan. We have a break coming up. But when we get back from the break, I do want to talk about the necessary shift that we have to look at. A number of different, and kind of today's world context and today's global economy, businesses and organizations have had to shift how they look at things. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to talk about is that the Christ Together model. You can see it in other things. I'm part of the Liberty Church Planning Network. I'm a Liberty University guy, so I'm part of the Liberty Church Network. A number of networks are coming up with this kind of DNA as a part of who they are. I want to talk about the necessary shift and what has sparked that and where that comes from. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson here on Christ Together Radio, joined by John and Chris from Orange County, California, on Christ Together Radio. Don't go away. We have one more segment left, and we're going to get in just a little bit deeper here, so you won't want to miss it.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're joined by John Blue and Chris Lagerlof from Orange County, California, part of the Christ Together Network on a national base, on a national scene. And last week we talked to Will, who's the director of Christ Together. Some great conversations being had, especially today. I'm really enjoying what we're talking about. I think it's important to the church, Ryan. And Ryan, I'm going to let you ask a question. Sure. For their context.
Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about before the break, just like the shift that's happening. I think that's absolutely important. I also think that the shift sometimes is it starts with pain points. What are the challenges that the church is facing in the geography that they find themselves in? So guys, help us in Western New York understand some of the pain points that you are up against in Orange County.
Well, Ryan, I don't know if you knew this, but Jesus loves Orange County more than any other place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because every church planter we talk to, they feel called to plant a church in Orange County. So we just have an abundance of church planters, and I'm just kidding. But there is some truth to that. And I think that actually is one of the challenges we face, is that this Orange County is, to a lot of people, an attractive lifestyle where people like to be outside and play and socialize, and we're busy. We just, you know, the mantra here really is we work hard, we play hard. And that competes for people's time and focus, and we get distracted, and at times our own comfort and desire for comfort becomes our greatest enemy for living on mission and helping people live on mission. So I think that's actually one of our greatest challenges in the church. I mean, there's a lot. John probably can talk about a couple more. But we see that a lot.
Yeah. How about you, John? What do you see as a pain point?
I think, you know, consumerism is rampant. It is. I'm sitting in the parking lot here at going to a church conference. I'm looking at a Mercedes. I'm looking at a Cadillac. I'm looking at a Jaguar. I'm looking at a BMW. I'm going, these are pastors? What are you talking about?
Wait, John, are you parked behind me, John?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, they're in my truck. It is. I think Chris's point with just busyness along with consumerism is really, really difficult. And also with the cost of living here, to plant a church here, it is very, very difficult.
Right.
I mean, an average rent in Orange County can go anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Depending on where you're at. If you want a below-average apartment, you're going to pay $1,500 a month. So you take all those factors, consumerism, you take the busyness of life, and you take the cost of living, and you go, it's a soup, a bad soup that everybody eats.
Yeah.
So we've got to really work on taking our people and going, come on, we've got to. If we believe the gospel and we understand discipleship, we've got to disconnect from what they're feeding you in Orange County.
Yeah. I think one more too, and I think this ties into so much of the heart of Christ Together and our long-term focus and strategies in geographies and cities, is we can spend so much time and energy trying to help churches that have been around for a while change the model or the method and really not get too far or get the ball down the field too far and just feel like, God, we've spent a lot of time and haven't really been too successful. And here's the reality, and John and I, this is the fun thing for us here, and it's working, I think, fairly well. We recognize that the future of collaboration, the future of cities, is church planters.
Hmm.
And that if we can get the Christ Together DNA into the church planters that we're around, and we train several church planters a year. We do roundtables every month for church planters. We have our own assessment here. We actually train churches and equip them to become church planting churches. All and everything we do, the DNA of Christ Together is spilled into these church planters. Just here in Irvine, just recently we gathered 11 guys and their spouses who are planting churches in our city. Irvine's one of the fastest city growing in the country, fastest growing cities here in the country. And so you think 11 church planters, aren't all the other churches threatened by them? No, we need them. We need them. And we need church planters who are thinking different about cities, thinking about how to make a disciple differently, because we believe if we can influence them, the next generation of church will look completely different. And that's how the operating system we talked about earlier will really become and look different. And so, you know, church planters are vital to what we do and where we spend our time.
I want to do a little shift here. We were going to talk about something else, but I want to ask you guys a question about church planting. All three of you, and I'll point it to one of you so we don't get confused here, but since you guys are leaving, I'll let John or Chris handle this. How do you, as guys, as a part of a network that's involved in church planting, how do you determine whether a church planting, somebody that comes along to you and wants to plant a church, like you mentioned that everybody wants to go to Orange County. Well, there are certain ones that maybe that's God, where God wants them, and maybe not. And how do you kind of filter through the new coolness, the new kind of hip feeling of church planting, and somebody who really just has a heart to serve? And, I mean, is that a challenge? Or is it just like all hands on deck?
Yeah, I think there is a challenge. But I think Chris mainly spent a year looking for an assessment for church planters. Looked at all the ones that are out there, and we landed on an assessment that we believe is producing fruit, which it really puts these guys and their wives through a two-day intensive, along with a lot of pre-assessment testing that they take, and at the essence of it, it is calling. Are you called? So we're able to push, we're able to prod, we're able to try to talk them out of it, all these things. And then we spend 6 months training these guys, and what we have seen in the last 3 years is over 20 church plants, 40 some pastors trained and assessed, and really excited about the preparation of the local church and a pastor. And we've weeded out some guys that we just said, gosh, you're called to the ministry, but not to plant a church.
Hmm. Yeah, and with that assessment, most assessments, churches will use and outsource and send their guys to like Kansas City, because that's where the assessment center is. The beauty of what we've built here is it's all our assessment team, which is usually 10 to 12, 15 people. They're all from Orange County, so it's context on context.
Yeah.
So we have people who are assessing those plants in Orange County who actually understand the Orange County culture and church and what it looks like to plant a church here. So, and the beauty of that, too, is the relationships that are built long-term, because our assessment team is made up of businessmen, pastors, you know, psychologists, therapists. And so there's relationships that exist even beyond the assessment. But that culture on culture, localized assessment here in Orange County is significant, because it's sending someone to Nashville, Tennessee to get assessed, you know, for planning the church in Orange County. You know, there's something lost in that.
That's really valuable, especially what encourages me is when people grow up in a city and plant in their own city, instead of parachuting in, or people who have spent time here. Ryan, you're essentially a native. You spent enough time here. People who have, you know, who know the city, who know the ins and outs of different areas and culture, and but any more parachuting into a city, just in fact, there's a famous person that their first plant was in Buffalo. Do you know first church plant in Buffalo? Do you know who that is, Ryan?
I do.
But they're actually an authority on this kind of stuff. But they parachuted into Buffalo and it failed.
Yep.
Because they parachuted in and didn't understand the context of this.
Yeah, the fun thing I think for John and I is if anybody does parachute in, we've been around, we have enough credibility that they run into us, so they find us, and we have a church planting culture now in relationships. We can embrace them and introduce them to churches in their city, and that's part of our job as connectors.
Right.
We're always connecting, you know, people to not just relationship, but hey, we're trying to be on the same mission here, and that's fun. But I'd say personally, you know, I get more excited when someone's called the plant in a specific geography than I do to someone's just called a plant a church, you know, because yeah. you want church planters to love the place that God's put, yeah. you know, putting them and placing them.
Hey, John and Chris, thanks
and
for joining us.
Ultimately,
okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Ultimately, gosh, if a pastor's heart doesn't break for his geography, forget about it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Because here's what you will find. God will take you through the ringer as a church planter. And yeah. what you hold on to is this, the lostness of your geography. And when there's
yeah.
no more money and no more money and no more people, as a pastor, you go, let's get out of the business. But if there's one person and there's $1, let's go. So it's that heart of that a man holds. I mean, it's Dr. Cozy. I've tried to talk him out of Buffalo for I don't know how many years. Come to the promised land.
We promised him a palm tree.
Canaan land.
I've got one at the Tim Hortons on yeah. Miller's Port. It's just inside.
You can tell if someone's called the Buffalo, they're the real deal.
It's the heart. It is Jesus' heart for the lost.
Yeah.
And you can't quantify that. It's just in there innately, and it drives a church planner, and that's what we're looking for.
Hey, guys, I know you have a seminar to go teach more of this stuff, so I'm going to let you go. John and Chris, thanks for joining us today on Christ Together Radio.
Oh, thank you. It was so fun.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, and just to finish up, I have a Porsche that just pulled up next to me to prove my point.
You almost made me throw out some names, and I'm not going to do it.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys. Take care.
Yeah. So it's really cool for our people to understand these are everyday folks. I mean,
yeah.
that God is he's moving in and through the lives of people. And you know, I think about John Blue was NHL hockey player. God broke his heart for where he was from. He's mm-hmm. actually the first NHL player, I think, from Southern California to play.
I was just going to say, do they have ice there?
Yeah, so it's kind of a crazy story, and every time he describes it, it's funny. But, I mean, this is a guy, honestly, that before getting into the ministry, he beat up a mascot during the national anthem in a minor league hockey. Yeah.
How did we not bring that up?
Well, I just wanted to get, I wanted the show to be serious, you know, so, but you know, I mean, he is, yeah. I mean, he's the real deal. Chris, you know, God has been using these men in a profound way. Chris, no longer as a pastor, but as a networker mm-hmm. in the region. And, you know, it's just an honor and a privilege to serve alongside these guys because they're everyday folks. And like my heart breaks for Western New York, my desire yeah. to see the saturation of the gospel happen.
Yeah.
These guys long for the glory of God to be revealed
yeah.
in and throughout.
A few
all
minutes
of
with them,
County.
And you can tell.
Yeah, they're just solid guys.
And that's why we asked, you know, a number of those questions just to draw that out of those guys because they are they're the real deal, and it's great to talk to people like that. And you know what it is, Ryan? It's encouraging too,
yeah.
Because we talked about this maybe it was last week or earlier in the show this week about how the news isn't all that good out there.
Yeah,
you know, if you have the Fox News app on your phone, just delete it because it's just all negative. It's all bad. And we tend to kind of get down.
Uh-huh.
Even in the church, we think, oh, man, we're just not going to have a building and how are we going to pay? And nobody's going to church anymore and no one cares. And then we see wins.
Yeah.
And we see where God really is moving and he's really doing something new, I think, and that you just feel this buildup of tension in the church where God wants to do something new and fresh.
Yeah.
And to me, it excites me.
Yeah, you know, and for our listeners in the GTA, you know, one of the things that I want to point to is when I'm in Southern California
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting in a room and we're talking about gospel saturation, we're sitting in a room with culture shapers that are non-Anglo,
mm-hmm.
Vietnamese, Hmong, you know, Taiwanese, Chinese, Nepali. I mean, there are people from all over the world, Africans. I mean, it is crazy to look at the culture brokers in a context. And I remember once I was asked to give a talk at Tyndale up mm-hmm. in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Dr. Nelson is the president mm-hmm. there. But I was talking about the research that we had been doing. And I just looked around and I thought, man, the diversity of evangelical
yeah.
Christendom
yep.
in the greater Toronto area, to me, they're on the forefront of what like representing a true diversity in a world city. Like, this is what the kingdom of God could look like. Now, the GTA is full of lostness, just like it's full of lostness here in Buffalo. But when you're in those world cities and you're sitting across from someone who can speak 2, 3, 4 different languages, but you also have the common language of evangel, like, I am an evangelical, we are Christ followers, what are we doing strategically? You know, to be honest, what an exciting time to be alive, and to be in these conversations that really, in many ways, they were very white for a very long time, and that's starting to shift. What an incredibly exciting time!
It's why I've always loved what we do here at WGCX. We get a chance to interact with so many people from so many cultures. You listen to Lifeline and people calling the Neil Boron show, and just the different cultures and contexts that people come from, and the unity that we have in Christ is so special. And for many years, we, you know, we've traveled around Southern Ontario meeting many of you, our listeners, and just getting a chance to meet people like, it keeps popping in my head, Io, you know, who he's a regular caller to our show, just a great guy. And just so many different listeners and characters that have come onto the scene that we can point to and also that we hear back from of how God is moving. In their context, and you begin to see the mission field come to you, and that's what has to happen in North America. We are the mission field now.
Absolutely, and third largest in the world.
Yeah, and it's just amazing, and just great conversation today, Ryan, with John and Chris, and looking forward to next week, and on and on and on Christ Together Radio. And I hope a lot of the stuff we talk about here is academic, but I hope you, as a listener, understand that we're kind of starting from the beginning. We're getting the groundwork done, and then we're, as we did today, going to talk more and more about context, different ways that God is moving, and different things that He's doing in His church, and have a little fun doing it too. Today was fun. John's a great guy.
Yeah. Chris too. I mean, they're both solid
great guys.
Dudes.
Great guys. And just good to talk to him. So anyway, Christ Together Radio. Listen to us every Sunday, 11 a.m. Check us out on the web, wdcxradio.com. Go to programs, Christ Together Radio. You can get all of our old episodes there. I don't know if you know that, Ryan.
Oh, I do. My father tells me every week.
Oh, good. And download our app, WDCX app in the App Store. You can get all kinds of stuff there, too. And check us out.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week right here on Christ Together Radio for Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.